Begin the current daf, Masechtas Avodah Zarah, daf Chaf. Begin on the bottom of your testament base, four lines up in the bottom of the Yamad. The Gemara continues in the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding unique halachas that relate between a Jew and a non-Jew. Says the Mishnah, Ve'ein oisin tachshit l'avodis kechavim. Other things one cannot do for a non-Jew, like the previous Mishnah, when it may not build certain structures for them. Here also, one is not allowed to make adornments for idol worshippers. Katlois, chokers, which are certain types of jewelry worn around the neck, when the zamim and nose rings with tabois and rings. Whereas Rabbi Yezim, he says, b'schar mutter, for pay, it's permitted. Now, the next halacha of the Mishnah is, ein meichel hem b'mechub l'karka. We're not allowed to sell to them something that's attached to the ground. Aval meichel hu mishri katas, but one could sell them that product if it was already cut off from the ground. Now, Rabbi Huda, he disagrees. He says, meichel hu amanas lokets. You're allowed to sell them something attached to the ground with the stipulation that it's going to be cut off. But even though right now it's attached, one is allowed to sell it with that stipulation. Now, now the Gemara asks on the second halacha, the Mishnah, Mananamele, where do we know this from, that it's forbidden to sell something attached to the ground? Not only ground, but even things that are attached to the ground. And there was a machlekes regarding if one made a condition that one has to cut it off. But something attached is forbidden. How do we know this? So Amar B'Yisr B'Chanin, he says, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, when you're going to come to the land of Canaan, you have to get rid of those people over there, and that ends off, Leitechane. What does the word Leitechane mean? The root, the etymology is which is a resting place, meaning one cannot give them a place of rest in the land. So you can't give them any possession of land, which includes the land or something attached to the land, where then they have some concrete rights in the land. That is the Gemara. How could you say that it's referring to the shayrish of chen in resting? It's actually needed for a different drasha. That's what the Torah is saying. Don't give them grace. In other words, one should not say, wow, how beautiful is this non-Jew. So not as a word of chaniya, but rather of chen. On that asked the Gemara, no, imkain, if the Pasuk was only saying that leitzachana means don't give them grace and find favor in them, leimakor leitzachunim, then the Torah should have written that the pronunciation should be in the fullness of the word, which we should read it when, if it's written, saf, ches, nun, mem, instead of being read sechanim, it should have been read sechunim, as if there was a malupim vav over there, which that would be from the word of chanina, which that would be read as chen. My loy sechanim, why is it read chaser, meaning without a malupim vav, which that pronunciation sounds like the word of chaniya, but karka, shema minotarti, that teaches us both halachas. Yes, one should not give them chen, and also one should not give them a possession in the land. On that asked the Gemara, but vakatimi b'ayle, but there's actually a different drasha that's supposed to teach us, which is that's what's being learned out from the fact that it doesn't say what a malupim vav molly, but rather chaser. Because the hachi amrachman, the Torah is telling us a different halacha. Like titlem matnas shalchinim, don't give them a gift for free. Where it's coming from the word of chinam, of free, a freebie, in contrast to the halacha of saying chaniya. So how can you say it's teaching us the halacha of chaniya b'karka? So the Gemara, no, actually all three are learned out. Because in Cain, it was only teaching by reading it chaser and not malay, it was teaching only this idea of not to give them a free gift. Le'makor le'sechinem, it should have been read, yeah, without the malupim vav, but it should be read with a chirik, le'sechinem. My le'sechonem, what's this kamatz over here? This teaches all three ideas. The fact that the way it's being written and it could be read, sechunim, that tells us chen. Then it tells us the idea that, however, it's read chaser, it teaches us the idea of not to give a matnas chinam. But then the fact that it's read with a kametz, like sechunim, teaches us the third halacha, which we're talking about, of not to give them chani b'karka, the halacha of our Mishnah. So, shema menakulu, so we have learned all of them from the pasuk. And the Gemara says, Tana Moch, it's in the Braisa that all of them are learned out from this pasuk. Says the Braisa, Loisachanim, those are the words of the pasuk. Says the Braisa, Loititin lem chaniya bekarka, this teaches us that one should not give them a resting place in the land. And that's from the fact that it doesn't say suchunim with a vav, molly. Davach, or another interpretation of that word, is Loisachanim is Loititin lem chain. Don't give them grace, don't give them favor from the fact that, however, that it could be read suchunim, which is the terminology of chanina, which is chen. The va'achar, another interpretation, le'sechonim is le'titlem matnas chinem, don't give them a gift that's free, where you could read it sechinem, with a chirik, that's chinam, and therefore we learn that all three halachas from this pasuk. Now, however, regarding the last drasha we just mentioned, says the Gemara, u'matnas chinem gufetanoi. However, one of these three halachas, the prohibition of giving a free gift to a non-Jew, is actually machalikis tanoim. They're telling like Linda Bryce, the Pasuk in Devarim says, Leisichlu kol nevelo. A Jewish person is not allowed to eat a non-kosher slaughtered animal, meaning if it just died, it wasn't killed in a slaughtering type of way, one is not allowed to eat it. Rather, what does one do with the dead animal? You give it to the convert in your gates, to him you give it and he'll eat it, which that refers to not a ger tzedek, because he has a halacha like a regular Jew, but rather what's known as a ger toshim, a resident convert, who accepts upon himself to fulfill the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach, where that does not include, he's allowed to eat non-kosher, he's allowed to eat nevela. And moreover, there's a commandment for a Jewish person to keep and support that ger toshim. As the Pasuk says regarding Ger Teshev and Vikoch Havev Chayimach, you have to support him. So the Pasuk is saying, so give it to him, you have to support him anyway, and he could eat non-kosher. Or you sell it to the non-Jew. Now, says the Braisa, Ainli Ella, if I would read the Pasuk, I would only know, Leger Benesina, that you could either give it to the Ger Teshev, or to sell it to a non-Jew, to an idol worshiper. Leger b'mechir minayin. How do we know that one is allowed to sell it to the ger toshim? It doesn't have to just give it to him. He could sell it to him. Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk teaches, where you could read it, where although we were reading it as two different statements, that to the ger asher b'shrecha titnen v'achala, that's one statement, oy machal nachir, or sell it to a non-Jew, but you could read the word oy machar, tamalema titnen oy machar. You could read it that word oy machar is going back on the ger toshim. Leger titnena, to the ger toshim you give it, v'achala and elated, oy machar, or you could sell it to him. Moreover, how do we know that you don't have to just sell it to the idol worshiper? You could also give it to him. Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk says. We could read it, the words of the first ones, which was seemingly part of the Ger Toshev. You could read it, Titnena Vachala, you give it to him and he'll eat it. Or you could sell it to the non-Jew. And then you could expound both of them on the Nachri. Now, the reason why this is the interpretation is because if the Pasuk was, as seemingly literally, that it's coming to teach us, that for the Ger Toshev you could only give it, and to the Ayvik Kachavim you could only sell it, so that would mean to say that you're not allowed to give it to the Ayvik Kachavim, to the idol worshiper, then the Pasuk should have been written in a different way that we could not have made that error. It should have said, Tednena va'achala leger shebeshrecha, you should give it and it should be eaten by the ger toshev that's in your gates. Oy machal nachri, sell to the non-Jew. And then you could not have said that the giving should be on the nachri. Why does it say it that the words could be read both either as the first half or the second half? Says the first opinion, the Brisa, nimtzato eme, this comes to teach you, echa ger ve'echad evi kechavim, both a ger toshev and an idol worshiper, bein nesina, bein b'mechir, whether if you're giving it, whether you're selling it, you're allowed to do either one to either one. That's divrei meir. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he says, no, Devarim Kiksavim, the words are as they're written, which is either Leger Benesina, it's either or, either to give it to Ger Teshev by giving it to him, or to sell it to the idol worshiper. However, one is not allowed to give a free gift to a Noivik Kachavim. This is that Machlekes Tanim that we said, that Rabbi Yehuda says, Matnas Chinam is Aser, Rabbi Meir says, Matnas Chinam is Mutter. Now, the Gemara, however, asks that Rabbi Yehuda is difficult, because most definitely, Shabbat Kam Rabbi Meir, Remeir most definitely had a good point, where it seems like that the selling and the giving could be said both on the Oyv Kechavim and on the Ger. And because, like we said, if not, then it should have said in a way it could not have been read by both. So why does Rebbe Yehuda hold that it's only one, or it's only giving for the Ger Toshev and selling to the Oyv Kechavim? So says the Gemara, Rebbe Yehuda Amalach, he would tell you, now, Isa Gadaitach Kedekam Remeir, if you would think to say like Remeir says, so Lichta Rachmana Titnena Vachala Umacher, then the Torah should have just written. If it's like he's saying that you could do either one for either one, then it should have said, you give it to him and he eats it and you sell it. Oy Lamali, why say the word or? Or is always a divisive word. It's separating. Says Rebbe Yehuda, Shema Minah, that's coming to teach you, Ledvam Kiksavundas. So the Pasuk is saying, no, either or. Either you give it to the Ger Toshev, but you sell it to Avi Kachavim, but not that each one has both options. Whereas Remei, he would tell you that, no, you're right. Either one, you could do either one. You could give it or sell it to the Ger Toshev, you could give it or you sell it to the Avi Kachavim. But Ahu, that oy, that word that separates, is because La Gedumei Nesina the Ger, Le Mechir de Avi Kachavim, is coming to preface and say that the preference is to giving it to the Ger Toshev over selling it to the Avi Kachavim. In other words, if there is a Ger Toshev b'sharecha, then don't sell it to the Ayvik Kachavim. And that's what the word is coming to say, to tell you that Leger Asher b'sharecha titnana. That's the primary mitzvah, you should give it to the Ger Toshev. However, if there's no Ger Toshev, then you'll sell it to the Ayvik Kachavim. But yes, after the fact, of course, you could do either one to either one. But Rabbi Yehuda, he would tell you, in response to what we just said for a mayor, that no, kiven the gerata mitzvah l'achyesa, since, as we mentioned before, that is a mitzvah sasei, where it says in the pasuk v'chai imach, which includes the ger toshev, that there's a positive commandment for a Jewish person to support the ger toshev, ukanani iyata mitzvah l'achyesa, and the idol worshiper, there's no mitzvah to keep him alive, to sustain him. So l'haktim l'tzach kro, we don't need a pasuk to tell us that if you have an option for both, that the ger toshev comes first. Of course. Why does Oyven come to tell us? Obviously, it says Rabbi Huda, Dvam Kiksavan, to separate and to say, no, it's either or. It's either giving to the Ger Toshev or selling to the Eved Kachavim, which again was his opinion that we see you're not allowed to give a gift to the Eved Kachavim, because he holds like one of those three interpretations of Leisachanim, which means not to give Matnas Chinam, whereas Rabbi Meir holds that no, one is allowed to give a Matnas Chinam to a non-Jew. Now, the price that we mentioned, which again we had brought in because one of the three interpretations, the halacha of our Mishnah, of don't give them chani bekarka, but one of them, davach, another interpretation of that words in the pasuk of leisachanim, says the price is leitidin lamchein. You're not allowed to give them grace, you're not allowed to find favor in the idol worshiper. Says the Gemara, Masayel Rav, that supports Rav. Because Amar Rav, he said, Asala Adam Sheyemra, it's forbidden for a person to say, Kama no avedis kecham zu, how beautiful is that idolatrous woman? Where it's because you're giving them chen, you're finding favor in the idol worshiper. On that, as the Gemara Meisav, we learned in the following braisa. Meisav, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. There was an incident with Reb Shimon ben Gamliel shal yagav agabi mailo b'harabais. He was on one of the high steps, one of the high areas on the Temple Mount. V'ro, ayvedz kechavim achas no b'yesin, saw a very beautiful, non-Jewish, idolatrous woman. Amar, and he said in response to that, a pasuk in Tehillim, Morabu masech Hashem, how great are your actions, Hashem. Moreover, after Rabbi Kiva, so too, such a similar thing happened with Rabbi Kiva. Ra Ashes turned the Srafis Harashi, so the wife of the wicked turned the Srafis. And he did three things. Rak, he spit. Sachak, he laughed. Ubach, and he cried. Why? Says the Gemara, Rak, he spit. Because she came from a putrid drop. Where does a person come from? From the seed of a man, which is a putrid drop, and like, it's like, ich. It's nothing. But at the same time, Sachak, he laughed. Because ultimately she would end up converting, and he's going to end up marrying her. And he was laughing at that fact, like here she's the wife of this wicked person, and he knows ultimately that she's going to convert and he's going to marry her. And Bacha, and he cried, because ultimately the Haishufra Bali Afra, ultimately this beautiful thing is going to be absorbed and buried in the ground, and that's a sad thing. But one thing we see is that here they said beautiful things, they found grace and favor in the idolatrous woman. Didn't we say that that's something that's forbidden to do because of Leitin Lamchein? Says Gemara, no, V'rav, Aiduhu de Kamaida. He was just giving thanks to Hashem. It wasn't finding favor and grace in the idolatrous woman. He was saying to Hashem, wow, Hashem, you're amazing. It's more the creator than the creation. Dama Malik, the master says, Haraya Breeze Taivis Aimer, whoever sees beautiful creations of Hashem says, Baruch Shekacha Baruch Bailamai, blessed is the one that created such things in this world. So therefore it had nothing to do with giving chayin to them, finding favor and trying to get their grace and finding favor by them. It's regarding them. It's nothing to do with them. It's about Hashem. Hashem, you're amazing. And that's something that's permitted. Now, however, the Gemara has a different problem. But how did these stories happen? Ulistakuli Mishari, is it even permitted to gaze at a woman, at a beautiful woman? How do they even do that? Forget about the problem about giving chayin to them. How were they even gazing at this woman? Meisvei, but we learned in the Braisa that quotes a pasuk in the Devarim says, "Even the shmartim called davarah." You have to see if you guard from any evil thing. What does that mean? Shleistakel adam beisha na vafilipenuya. A person should not be gazing at a beautiful woman, even if she's unmarried. And beisha sish, if she's a married woman, vafilimuchaaris. Then even if she's ugly, that's a problem. As the Ketin Tamid Beis, moreover. A person should not even be gazing at the colorful garments of a woman, because then he recalls that woman, how she was dressed up with that which it beautifies her, and then he starts thinking about her. Moreover, not when there is a donkey with a she-donkey, neither when there is the male swine and the female swine, not even with birds, one should not be gazing at the animals when they're mating. Even the angel of death, who's filled with eyes, has to be careful not to be looking at things like this. Whereas the Gemara says, why was it called Molei Inayim? Amar Alav Al Malach Hamavis, they said regarding the angel of death, Shekuli Molei Inayim, that he's full of eyes, which as some Svarim bring down because it's all the things, the forbidden images that a person gazes at, that's what they see on the angel of death. when they're passing away, which is a frightful thing. And as the Gemara says, b'shas p'tirasa shel chayla, at the time when the ill person is passing away, oymin ma'al marashaysav, the Malach HaMavis is standing over the head of that sick person, v'charbay shlufa b'yaday, and his sword is outstretched in his hand, v'tipa shel marat tluyibay, and there's a drop of this bile that is hanging on the tip of the sword. Kimin shechayla roya, I say, once the sick person sees that, mizdazeya, he shakes, u'peseach pivi, opens up his mouth, v'zarkul toich piv, and that drop is thrown into his mouth, and mimena meis, from that drop is what he dies, mimena masriach, from that drop is what makes him putrefy, mimena panrikas, and from that drop that turns his face, that it makes his face turn yellow, and that's from the decomposition. Now, but one thing that we see is that one is not allowed to gaze at a beautiful woman. So how did these, even if we say they're praising Hashem and not finding favor in the woman, but how did they look at this woman to say such things? Says the Gemara, Karen Zavasavi, the incident was regarding a corner, which is when someone's coming from the right side and the other from the street, and one's coming from the avenue, and they come to the corner, and as they hit the corner, they just bump into each other. They didn't see coming that he should close his eyes, and they just happened to see. That's when he says, wow, Hashem, amazing the creations that you have. But of course, if he saw her coming, he would never gaze at her, because that is a forbidden thing. As the Braisa had said, which the Gemara elaborates on, not even in the colorful garments of a woman. Now, Amir Vida Mishmul, he qualifies the statement. He says, we're not even talking about looking at the woman when she's wearing the garments, that you now look at her garments. Even if the garments are just hanging on the wall, it's in the closet, one is not allowed to gaze at those colorful garments. Now, Amr Pabi, however, he qualifies that, and he says, Ubamakir Balein. That's only if he recognized the owner of that garments, meaning he knows that woman who usually wears those garments, then it's forbidden to look at those garments. Now, Amar Rava, he says, Dekanami, a precise reading of the Braisa indicates this idea, because Diktani, the Braisa's words were, V'lebi bigdei tzeva isha, and not the colorful garments of a woman, which sounds like that he knows that woman. Because V'leker Tani, the Braisa does not say, V'lebi bigdei tzevainin, and that he shouldn't look at colorful garments of women. From the fact that it says, Bigdei tzeva isha, sounds like that he recognizes, he knows who that woman is. So from Amin, no, we can infer from that, it's not forbidden to look at just colorful garments of a woman. It's talking about that he knows that woman, and that he, it's regarding that woman's garments that he's not allowed to look at. Now, Amr Rav Chizki qualifies this more. He says, Hanimili batiki. This was only talking about that old garments, meaning that she had already worn them. He already saw her wearing this garment once before. Now, when he sees it hanging in the closet, he's going to recall her beauty when she was wearing that. Now, more of as Rashi says, and this is specifically by these colorful garments, because it beautifies a woman, and they're not so common. But regular, mundane garments, which are not there to beautify, then it's not gonna, he's not going to entertain the thought by just looking at it to have impure thoughts, and then that wouldn't be a problem. But this is, again, only garments that she had already worn. Abachaditi, but by new garments, she just bought the clothing. If she never wore it yet, even if he knows that she's the owner of the colorful garments, then leslamba, that's not problematic. It's not going to bring a person to that visualization, to that image of what it is that she looked like, because he never saw her wearing those garments. And the Gemara proves this idea. Because the Ilei Temahachi, if you don't say this, and you say that, no, once we know that this colorful garments was owned by this woman, even if she never wore it yet, it's problematic to gaze at it, then Anan, that us, Mana Leashpuri, when we give garments to the launderer who fixes the new clothing, and he makes it in that it's ready for wearing, Hechiavinan, how do we give the women's clothing to these launderers? Hokamestakel, they're gazing at these garments, and he knows that this woman just dropped it off. So even though he never saw her wear it because she never wore it yet, but if you said it would be a problem by knowing the owner, so then it would be a problem. Obviously, says the Gemara, it's only about tiki, not bechadi. Which the Gemara rejects the proof. The Gemara says, no. Well, the Taimech, according to your reasoning that you would have a problem with this professional tailor, launderer, about fixing a woman's garments because he would think about her if we would say that new clothing would be forbidden, then Hadam, Rav Yehuda, then this teaching, Rav Yehuda says that min b'minay, mating two animals, when if they're from the same species, it's mutter, it's permitted for a person to be lahachnis, to insert manually with it by himself the male member into the female, kimekhil b'shveferis, as one takes the insert in the applicant, the applicator into the bottle, like let's say the woman's makeup, eyeliner, she sticks it in and takes it out. That is permitted for the farmer, for whoever it is that's taking care of the animals, to insert it with his hands. Now, the problem with that is hokamestakel. He's obviously gazing because he has to insert it, and we learned previously in the Braisa, one's not allowed to gaze, even from far, seeing the animals mating. Ella, rather, why isn't that a problem? Because Bavidite Tarid, he's busy with his job. He's thinking about his work. He's not thinking about impure thoughts. He's busy making sure that he's doing the right thing. So says the Gemara, Hachanami Bavidite Tarid, therefore there's no raya from the case of the kaibis, of the launderer with the new clothing from the women, because he's busy with his job. He's got to get it done. He has deadlines. These things he's got to take. He's not thinking about this woman, her clothing, and getting off on his thoughts. And therefore, it's not going to be a problem. And therefore, it's no raya. Maybe it actually would be forbidden to gaze at a woman's colorful garments, even if they're new, not even if they were ever worn yet. Now, the Gemara had mentioned before, regarding the Malach HaMavis, Amar, the master said, Mimena Mace. From that drop of bile which he has in his sword, which falls into the mouth of the dying person, it's from that that the person dies. So says the Gemara, name a pliga d'Avud Shmuel. Should we say that this teaching disagrees with the father of Shmuel? Because Amar Avud Shmuel, he said, Amali Malach HaMavis, said, the angel of death told me, Eloi d'chayashn l'yakar d'briyas, if I didn't care about the dignity of the people, have a program the b'sa shchid d'kebem, I would tear out the place of slaughter, which refers to the person's trachea, the larynx, the pharynx, the two pipes of the esophagus, and the trachea, said, I would tear it out like the way you slaughter an animal, which you would be able to see on the outside that this person's pipes were cut like an animal. So obviously we see that he literally cuts the pipes, not that just the person dies from this drop of bile. Says the Gemara, no, Dilma Hitiba Mechatcha Lahula Samanim. Maybe that drop of bile is so toxic that it actually cuts the esophagus and the trachea, and therefore it's not a contradiction. Maybe that's what the bile does. But he just said, if I didn't care about the dignity, it would rip open even on the outside, and people would see that this person was just totally ripped apart. Now, moreover, it said that from that drop, Mimena Masriach, from that drop, he putrefies. Says the Gemara, Masayel Reb Chanin Bar Kahana. Because Amr Chanin Bar Kahana, he said, Amri Bei Rab, they said in the Yeshiva of Rab, Hareitza Shele Yisrich Mesa. If someone wants that his dead person should not putrefy, Yafchen Alpanav, he should turn him over on his face. Again, that would stunt this process because since it comes into the mouth, that's what makes him be Masriach. And if a person doesn't want that, he should do that and turn him over, which that's the idea because we see what makes him be Masriach. It's from that drop. Now, continuing on this theme of the pasuk we brought down before regarding the prohibition of gazing at inappropriate things regarding women's garments or mating things, which could bring to illicit thoughts, so the Gemara expounds on that topic. Turn about the Brisa. The pasuk says, "V'nishmarta mikol davar ra," you should safeguard yourself from every evil thing. Which near that, the pasuk says, "Ki yia b'cha ish asher lo yia tahar mikrei laila." If there's going to be a man amongst you that's not going to be pure, he's going to have an emission at nighttime. Which the pasuk is obviously putting those two ideas together. That says a person should safeguard himself that he shouldn't come to a seminal emission. Which teaches us shlo yahar odem b'yem, that a person should not contemplate and think about certain things. Because that could bring him to impurity at nighttime. From here is where Pinchas Ben Yair says, which is a famous Braitza, and which is the Homa Sil Hashem is based on this Braitza, that's the idea that a person should take safeguards to prevent him from sinning. Whereas the idea is that Torah, by toiling in Torah, moreover, besides the actual essence of just toiling in Torah, when a person learns things, he sees and he understands the prohibitions that are in the Torah, and therefore he safeguards himself. It brings him to caution, which is that when there's a sin that comes to him, so he's careful to safeguard himself, not to stumble in it. Moreover, Zahiris, and this is latter going to the top, Zahiris Mevil de Zerizis. Now, when a person has caution and he's careful, that brings him to alacrity, to zeal, which, okay, so now he's proactive. Not only that, he's reactive. He makes that he should never even come to a sin. Like we'll be here, where we said that a person should not think about certain things, which is proactive, that it should not bring him to a situation of tumah balayla. Moreover, continues Reb Pinchas Ben Yair, zrizus mevil de nekiyas. By having alacrity, it brings a person to purity, which is to cleanliness, which he's clean without any sin. He's not going to end up sinning. Moreover, nekiyas mevil de precious. By being clean from sin, it brings a person to asceticism, which is that he's even from something that's permitted, he separates himself to be more stringent, so that he stays very far away from things that are more insidious. Precious mevil de tahara. Asceticism brings a person to purity, which is really clean and white and sharp, and which is even more than just being clean. Tahara mevil de chasidus. Purity brings to piety. Chasidus mevil de anova. Piety brings to humility. Anova mevil de yirschet. Humility brings to the fear of sin. Yirschet mevil de kedusha. The fear of sin brings to holiness. Kedusha mevil de ruach hakodesh brings to divine inspiration, where the Shechina rests on that person. And the divine presence brings to the revival of the dead. And says the Gemara, v'chassidus gedel mekulam. And piety is the greatest of all of them. Shemak says the pasuk in Tehillim, az dibarta b'chazayin l'chassidecha, then you spoke with your vision to your pious ones, and it doesn't say to those who fear you or to the humble ones. So you see that that's the greatest one. But says the Gemara, pligad Rabbi Shimon Levi, that disagrees with Rabbi Shimon Levi. Rabbi Shimon Levi says another gedel mekulam. He says that humility is the greatest of them all. Shemak says the pasuk in Yeshaya, ruach Hashem elikim olai, that he says that the spirit of Hashem, the God, is on me. Yan Moshech Hashem Isi Lavasa Anov, because Hashem has anointed me to tell to the humble ones. Now Chasidim Loinem, it doesn't say to tell to the pious ones. El Anovim, rather to the humble ones. Halamad Tash Anov Gedal Mekulam. From there you learn that because the greatest of them all is the one that's humble, who knows is what you see is what you get. He's living totally his peace. That's the greatest of them all. Now the Mishnah had said that a moichelin b'chulu, we're not allowed to sell them something that's attached to the ground, where we had a machlekes regarding something that if you make a stipulation that he's going to cut it, is that permitted or not? So the Gemara expounds on this machlekes, Tanabor and learn the Braisa. Moichelin ilon, you're allowed to sell them a tree, amanas liktzeitz b'kaitzes, on the stipulation that he'll cut it off. That's the Rebbe Yehuda, as he said in the Mishnah. Rameyah, like the Tanakhama of Mishnah, says, no, Eimoichelen El Katsutzi. Now let's sell them something that's attached. Even if you stipulated, you could only sell them something that was already detached. Moreover, similar case, Shachas, which is grain of wheat or barley before it's full, when it's still the beginning of the plant. Amanas Ligzes Vegaisis. You're allowed to sell it, Tim says the first opinion, where if it's on the stipulation that he's going to cut off and it cuts it off, that's the Rebbe Yehuda. Rameyah says, no, Eimoichelen El Gezuza. You're only allowed to sell them something which was already cut off. Third case, Kama, standing grain. Amanas liktzer v'kaitzer, where if it's on the stipulation that'll cut off and it cuts it off, the Rebbe Yehuda says that's permitted. And Meir says no. Ein meichun elikatur. You're only allowed to sell something that was already cut off. Says the Gemara Tzricha. We need all these three cases of ilon, shachas, and kama, which is when the grain's already full. Why? The Yashmin and ilon, had we only said the case of the tree, b'hakam Meir, we'd say that maybe only with the Meir says you're not allowed to sell to him even with a stipulation, because kibin delay pasad, since the non-Jew, the idolater who buys it, doesn't lose by mashile, he'll just delay it, and he'll leave it attached because the tree doesn't get any worse by not cutting it off. So it's going to turn out for that time period that he delays that he has a settlement and he has some portion in the land which is forbidden to do. Avalhai, but I would say, let's say regarding the standing grain, chimashile pasit, where there actually if he leaves it a little bit longer, it actually gets ruined. It gets ruined, the crop, if you don't cut it in its ripe time. I would say that maybe they hear agrees to Rebbe Yehuda that you could sell it to him with that stipulation because he will end up cutting it off. You will not be giving them chaniyah b'karka. So we have to say that no, even over there he holds you not allowed. Now, v'yash min manitarte, had we said only those two cases of the ilon and the kama, we would say mishum de la yediyah shev chayu, because those two cases, it's not so recognizable the gain that you have by leaving it attached. By the standing grain, the kama, because actually there's a loss. And by a tree, even though you don't lose, but it's not so recognizable that you really gain by keeping it attached to the ground. Avashachas, but regarding the beginning process of a plant, of a grain, the yediyah shev chayu, which is obvious, the gain of, it's so obvious that when you leave it, it's going to really turn into a full ripened plant. I would say that actually over there, Yehuda agrees to Remeir that actually would be forbidden, because even though you stipulated he might delay because he's going to get a real gain. So I have to say that no, even over there, he holds that it's going to be permitted. Now, v'yashmin b'ha'an, had we only said this case of Shachas being Aser, b'ha'kam Remeir, we'd say that maybe only over there Remeir says, by Shachas, because it's recognizable regarding the gain, that the person might delay and might not cut it off, and that's why it's Aser. But I would say maybe in those other two cases of Ilan and Kama, where there's no real gain, that if you stipulate that he'll cut it off and that we could assume he'll cut it off because he doesn't really gain by not, then Rabbi May would agree that it's mutter, and because you're not going to end up giving him chaniyah b'karka. Tzricha, therefore, had to say all three cases, the tree, the standing grain, the shachas, but all these cases, there's a machlokes Rabbi May and Rabbi Yehuda, if you stipulate that he's going to cut it off, if you're allowed to sell it to him like that or not, do you have to have it actually cut off before you sell it to him? Now, related discussion, the Gemara says, Yiboyle had the following question. Behema, which we said, you're not allowed to sell large animals to an idol worshiper. But let's say, amanas lishchit. Let's say, the same type of case that we're discussing in our Mishnah, with the stipulation that he's going to slaughter it. Ma, what's the halacha over there? And that is, the Gemara explains the question. Hasim over there in our what we were just discussing in our Mishnah regarding trees and the grain. Time in Maisha, Rabbi Yehuda. Why is Rabbi Yehuda say that it's permitted to sell it with the stipulation? Is because we could say Dilav Bishusei Kami, because the Shachas, the Ilan, the Kama, it's in the Jew's land.
So therefore, v'le matzi mashilu. So really, he can't really delay whole Rabbi Yehuda because the Jew's not going to let him. He's going to say, you got to cut it off, or else the whole sale is void, whatever it is, but he has leverage. A behema, but by an animal, the moment he sells it to the non-Jew, even the b'shru say David kachavim kaima. Once he sells it, it's already by the non-Jew. Mashila says, "Oh, the Jew told me to slaughter it. Whatever, I already have it already. He can't force me, and he's going to delay it. And then you're into the problems of all the reasons why we said on the previous daf, me now let us sell a behema gasa to a non-Jew, which was only if it's going to be held onto. If it's going to be slaughtered, you don't have those problems. But since we don't have leverage, maybe Yehuda would agree that it doesn't help his stipulation, and therefore it would be forbidden." Like demolition, or maybe no, he doesn't hold there's a difference. Just like you're allowed to make a stipulation to make it permitted for selling something attached to the ground, but the condition is you're going to cut it, so too by an animal. So Zigmar Tashma, we can learn clearly the time learned the Braisa, Behema Amanas Lishcha. In this case, if someone stipulates explicitly with the non Jew and he's selling him the animal, I'm selling it to you only if you're going to slaughter it. For Sheikh it, and he sells it, Div Rabbi Yehuda says, and he slaughters it, Div Rabbi Yehuda says that, yeah, that's going to be permitted to do. Whereas Rabbi Meir, as for sure, based on his halacha, like we said in our Mishnah, said no, you're only allowed to sell to the non-Jew a slaughtered animal, but you cannot sell a live animal. Again, Rabbi Meir does not hold you could do the stipulations. Rabbi Yehuda holds not only by land, but even by behema, which is forbidden. If you stipulate that he's going to slaughter it, and he slaughters it, that is a permitted sale to do with the Eivet Kechavim.